I'd love to ask this question today, just in our closing time that we have together. What does it mean to be part of an apostolic and prophetic movement? What does it mean to be part of an apostolic and prophetic movement? Now, if you're not sure what those terms mean, great, you're in the right place and I've picked the right subject. You may or may not be aware, but you are part of a family of churches called Christ Central Churches. So Christ Central is made up of over 300 churches in 25 different nations around the world. And we as Christ Central are part of a bigger and wider movement called New Frontiers, which is thousands of churches in over 90 different nations now. And I'd love to open up for you Acts 11, 19 to 30, which just gives a window into what it means to be part of an apostolic and prophetic movement. These terms, apostolic, comes from an apostle. An apostle was a term that was kind of stolen from the Roman world. And basically, if Rome wanted to take over a new land, they would send an apostle, one representing the power and force of Rome, to broker an agreement with this new land. So it was one with delegated authority to represent someone else, a sent one. And prophetic comes from the term prophet, which refers to someone who can hear God with real clarity. So we can all be prophetic. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But God also gives us the gift of prophets that we'll see in this scripture that can help us hear God with real clarity. So just to paint some of the scenes, some of the backdrop to Acts 11. God has created the world. The fall has come. Then God has put his hand upon Abraham, then on his son Isaac, his son Jacob, his son Joseph. The people of God then become under captivity in Egypt. So God raises up Moses to release the people of God and bring them to the promised land. They inhabit the land, but they fail to outwork that Abrahamic promise to be blessed, to be a blessing. And there is then a few hundred years of silence, and God comes as flesh, as Jesus. Jesus lives a perfect life, dies, rises again, and commissions his church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem grows, and so they need to appoint deacons, which they do. And one of those deacons is called Stephen, and he is accused of speaking against Moses by God's people in Israel. And it's here where we get to in Acts 11. And following this kind of the stoning of Stephen, he's the first Christian martyr, the floodgates of persecution open. And so Christians flee from Jerusalem all the way to a place called Antioch, which is over 300 miles away from Jerusalem, about 10 times the size of Jerusalem, about five times the number of people, a very significant city. So let's start with Acts 11, 19 to 21. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And as we make our way through this passage, what I want to highlight is time and time again how God sends, in terms of that apostolic one sent forth, and also see how time and time again God speaks, that sense of being prophetic, apostolic, sent, prophetic, God speaking. So in these first couple of verses, we see how through persecution, believers are scattered from Jerusalem all the way to Antioch. And so we can see that God, in this instance, is sending through scattering. And I know this is right on the DNA of your church. You are a sent church. You were planted here. How many years is it now? About 10 years. Amazing fruit. Look around you. This didn't exist 10 years ago. Isn't that wonderful? And I know in your heart and Keith's heart is very much to keep reaching out, planting, sending others. This is right in the DNA of your church. Movements can so easily become monuments. And I think we often used to judge church success by how many we can gather, but it's through verses like this that we realize, no, church success is more about how many we send. How many we send to our neighbors, to our friends, as was brought out beautifully earlier, and how many we send to different cities and towns and nations to gather other New Testament communities of faith. This is something in our DNA in Leeds. We've planted, I can remember having very watery eyes praying out close friends to different places, to Harrogate in 2010, to Bradford in 2012, to Liverpool in 2013, sending people because this is upon God's heart. He sends, and in this instance, he sent through scattering. In terms of God speaking these verses, we see the sharing of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Quite a few years ago now, we hit a bit of a rocky patch financially as a church. I volunteered to try and get some work and managed to get some work as a chaplain, what Anthony does. I was in the courts in Bradford, and I can remember chatting to this guy outside the courtroom, and he'd been caught with a lot of weed in his house, a lot of cannabis. He was growing huge quantities of it. And I've been trained not to give any legal advice, but he was kind of trying to get some kind of word of comfort from me that he would be okay. He was saying, you know, this is my first kind of major offense. I think I'm going to be all right. But at the back of my mind, I was thinking, this judge is quite severe. And that was a lot of weed in your house. anyway, he goes into court. And he stands up, he pleads guilty, and the judge looks at him, and he sentences him to a good term in prison. I think it's about 6 to 9 months. And the weight of the judgment fell upon this guy, and he literally fell towards his knees, and two security guards had to lift him up, and he let out this kind of wail as the kind of seriousness of what he'd done fell upon him. And I share this with humility, but with a sense of reverence, that actually there is a day when all of us will stand before a judge, not an earthly judge, but the judge of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And that's a serious and holy thing. We'll be called to give an account. I don't know about you, but my account is not good enough. I, like that man, would fall. Here's the amazing news. We don't worship a severe judge. We worship an incredibly gracious judge, a loving judge who, yes, pronounces us guilty as we deserve, but steps down from his podium and takes the punishment that we deserve for us. He stands in our place. He literally dies for our sins, for our wrongdoing, and pays that eternal punishment that we should pay ourselves. This is the glorious, glorious, wonderful gospel. We can never, ever do enough to achieve righteousness. We can't weigh our good and bad works. We'll never be able to do it. But Christ has taken our judgment for us. And this is the good news that we have. And so we find in Acts 11, verse 19, people spreading the word as they go. And then Acts 11, verse 20, telling or proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus wherever they go. I don't know if you've noticed this in church life. Some people say, oh, what we need to do is go really small and just focus on being with people, being kind of incarnational, if you want a fancy word. And some people say, no, we don't need to do that. We need like the kind of big events. We need to proclaim Jesus loud and gather lots of people. We need to be, if you want a fancy word, attractional, if you like. But actually what we see in two verses after one another, that the early church did both. It wasn't an either-or thing. They were incarnational. They were sharing the good news of Jesus wherever they went. But also, when they had opportunity, they proclaimed the good news. They told the good news when they had the opportunity to. It was a both and thing. I want to encourage you on the back of Keith's notice, Christmas is an easy invite. People want to be invited to a carol concert. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to proclaim the good news that sins have been paid for and we can receive them by faith for free. So Acts 11, 19 to 21, we see God sending through scattering. We see God speaking through the sharing of the gospel. And then Acts 11, verse 22 to 24, it says this, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So what we find here, the church in Jerusalem, they send Barnabas, and he's amazed at what God is doing. This man, Barnabas, we've read about previously in Acts, is the one who sold his field and gave it to the work of the church. If you've ever had to have any building work done on your house, we did it on ours, and they wanted to knock down a wall, and they said, what we need to get in before we rebuild is some acro props. I don't know, builders among us, acro props. These things will ensure that the structure of the house remains firm. And if you like, the church in Jerusalem hears about these people coming to the Lord, and they think, if you like, they want to send an acro prop. They want to send Barnabas, who can come to the church and put some supporting structure in so that it can continue to flourish. And they send their best to go and do that. So God sends to strengthen, if you like. And then Barnabas encourages the church. I don't think this is a kind of, well done, carry on. You know, these people, remember, they've fled for their life after their friend Stephen has been killed for his faith. And now people are starting to come to the Lord. They must be thinking, gosh, is this persecution going to catch up with us? Like, it's literally kind of life or death. So Barnabas is encouraging them, remain true, remain steadfast to the Lord. And we need this external encouragement from time to time as church families. I know I have needed it many times. We as a church hit a leadership crisis about 10 years ago now. And I remember relaying it to Jeremy, who leads the team of Christ Central Churches. And he said, I think what you need is Paul and Jean Woodward. And so Paul and Jean came and just camped out with us, not literally, but camped out with us as a church for 6 months off their own back and just encouraged us after what we went through. I can remember sitting down with Paul and saying, I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. anyone else felt like that in church leadership or other leadership? And he listened to me grumble for about an hour. And then he said, what has the Lord told you to do? And I said, well, I think he's asked me to stay put and shepherd the church. And he said, the rest are just details. And in that moment, I remember just being strengthened, encouraged in my inner being that I needed to do what the Lord had told me to do. And we need that external encouragement. God sends to strengthen. God speaks through encouragement. Acts 11, verse 25 to 26. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So remember, church in Jerusalem, Stephen is martyred, persecution. The believers flee for their lives, as Jesus has told them to do, you know, as cunning as snakes, as innocent as doves. You know, if there's persecution coming, avoid it. And so they get out of the way. They go to Antioch. People are coming to faith as they're sharing their faith, as proclaiming the good news. The church in Jerusalem then send Barnabas. Barnabas arrives, encourages them, but then nips just down the road, not far, modern-day Turkey, to Tarsus, and picks up Paul, his friend who he knew in Jerusalem, who Barnabas vouched for Paul in Jerusalem and his teaching gift, and brings him into Antioch, And it's there that Barnabas and Paul teach the church for a year in the things of God. And it's beautiful to see this relationship between Barnabas and Paul. And to have these relationships across churches. In my own story is that at university in Leeds, I just wanted to quit because I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. I thought, how is this degree going to help me do that? And fortunately, I remember asking a couple of friends to pray for me, and they said, Chris, we've got this weird picture of you in a catapult, and God's saying, and now's not the time for you to be released into this full time, but there'll come a time. And so I took that from the Lord, and the next kind of 3-4 years of my life were incredibly challenging. I had to bury my father. I really struggled in the first couple of years of our marriage, at working issues, and had some real hard stuff at work go on. And anyway, a few years passed, and I remember being in a prayer meeting, and a guy called Mike Springer, who'd been in our church, was praying for me, and he said, Chris, this might sound weird, but I've got a picture of you in a catapult. And straight away my mind went back, and I got very emotional as he prophesied over me and said, the Lord's saying, now's the time for you to be released. And he then got called on to go and pastor a church in Darlington. And within weeks of him prophesying that, I was asked to take his role at Leeds. And it's interesting, isn't it, Matt, what you've been through, and we've seen it in our church. Often before elders are appointed, they often go through seasons of incredible testing and challenge, whether it be sickness or family issues. But actually God works through that and very powerfully. So we honor you for that, the way you've walked through that. And then, so God sends through this relationship through Paul and Barnabas, and then that we hear that they're teaching the church for a whole year. It was brought out in one of the prophetic words. I can't even remember what you preached about, Keith. I can't even remember what I preached myself about a few weeks ago often, and we can think, really, is teaching really important? I often think about my driving lessons, and I can probably only remember 2 or 3 of them, but if I get in a car, I know how to drive. And in the same way, when we put ourselves under godly teaching, week in, week out, we don't give up meeting together. We hear from the Bible. It goes in somehow. And so for a whole year, Paul and Barnabas, they're teaching the church, explaining what's going on in here. So God's sending through relationship. God's speaking through teaching. Acts 11, verse 27 to 30. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So, church in Jerusalem, persecuted, believers flee to Antioch. Church in Jerusalem says, let's send Barnabas. Barnabas comes to Antioch and goes to Tarsus to get Paul. Paul and Barnabas are teaching the church. Then the church in Jerusalem, incredibly generous, send Agabus and a bunch of prophets to come and encourage the church. And Agabus stands up and predicts a famine that will come, which it does. And then the church in Antioch raise an offering and send it back to the church in Jerusalem. I remember as a kind of fairly new graduate being a bit hard up, and it was my birthday and really just fancied a takeaway. You know, when you just really fancy a takeaway and I wanted to celebrate my birthday. But the reality was that time couldn't really afford it. We were just really just hard up at that time. And I can remember dropping something off at a friend's house in the church. And just as I was leaving, he said, oh, Chris, hang on a sec, isn't it your birthday today? And I said, yeah. And he said, come here. And pulled out a £20 note from his wallet and said, bless you. And I was just like, you don't understand what you've just done. And you've demonstrated the heart of God to me. And Just as we need a local church family, I'm sure many of you have got countless stories of meeting one another's needs in this community. We also need, I think, a family of churches where one church or a group of churches is suffering or in hardship. Other churches can raise finance or other resource to help and support them. What we've managed to do as a family of churches in Ukraine at the moment is wonderful. Our church had a Zoom call with one of the churches in Ukraine just on Monday evening, and just one of the ladies there straight away after we send our greetings just starts weeping as she says, "You don't understand what you're doing for me in terms of expressing your concern and the heartbeat of God to me." Amazingly, as Christ Central Churches, we've sent well over £100,000 to the 14 churches in Ukraine. And together as New Frontiers, we've sent well over £1 million to the churches in Ukraine. And to see the videos of that support, feeding people, clothing people, but more than that, helping demonstrate the family of God around the world is incredibly moving to be a part of. We're now in a position to be able to help our churches in Armenia as well, who've recently joined Christ Central Churches in the conflict going there with Azerbaijan. And it's just staggering to hear the stories coming out of there, but our ability to walk with them through that suffering, encourage them and support them very practically with their financial needs. And so we see God sending to meet need. And then we also see God speaking through the prophets. So Agabus and his crew, they don't get everything completely right. Acts 21, we'll see Agabus gets a prophetic word just slightly wrong. And we can all prophesy, but God gives prophets for us to hear. Ginny is a recognized prophet in our family of churches. And time again, just like we read here in Acts 11, she said, "The Lord's doing this," or "The Lord's going to do this." And we've been able to respond ahead of time as we've heard God speak through her. So hopefully Acts 11 has opened a little window into what it means to be part of an apostolic sending and prophetic, not pathetic, although we are sometimes, prophetic God speaking family of churches. And I'm so grateful that you're caught up in this, that you're part of this. I'm so grateful the way you release Keith and Rachel and others in this church family to serve through worship, through the amazing paper that Keith has written for us on church planting, serving us as part of the UK team now. And honestly, we can't do this alone. We're so grateful for your partnership in the gospel as we seek to be an apostolic and prophetic movement. And so we've seen God sending through scattering, Barnabas to strengthen, Paul through relationship, finances to meet need. We've seen God speaking through gospel sharing, through Barnabas's encouragement, through Paul and Barnabas's teaching, and through prophets. Did you pick up what happened in the story, though? Isn't it amazing? This church in Jerusalem, believers are sent. They send Barnabas, then they send Agabus and prophets, and then the church in Antioch raise finance for the famine that was prophesied and send it back to the church in Jerusalem. And this has been our story at Gateway in Leeds, and I'm sure will be yours as well. That actually, as we've given, we've received back more. And it's you know, often looks very different. You know, you put a seed in the ground and a tree comes out. It looks very different, you know. They sent people and they received finance back. The motivation isn't to get back as we give. We just give. But as we give, God gives back. And amazingly, this has happened just weirdly. So sometimes we sent a couple to plant a church into Halifax. Within a few weeks later, a new couple arrive at the church, the exact same names of the couple that we've sent to go and plant. You just think, gosh, this is just freaky and weird. God blesses as we reach out. But more than that, it actually reflects the very heartbeat of God. You've got it here, the manger. God is a sending God. He sends. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son. He sent his best. And then Hebrews 1:1-2, In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. When we get involved in apostolic sending and prophetic, God speaking family of churches, we're tapping into the very heartbeat of God. He's a sending and a speaking Trinity that we worship. And we mirror something. We are holy as he is holy, if you like, when we do these things. When they cost us, yes, but as we mirror, as we echo the very heartbeat of God. So I want to thank you for playing your part of this family of churches that we're a part of. I want to thank you for your sending and receiving of people, of finance, of prayers. And I want to say this means you. Sometimes you don't get caught up in a lot of it because you have jobs and things to do, and there's only a certain amount of proportion and time we can give to these things. But I hope you feel part and connected, that you really are part of this, this wider family of churches. So I want to thank you and honor you for the part you play. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. Such a wonderful sense of your presence here. We thank you for Matt and the family, the growing eldership team. We thank you for the heart to continue planting from here. We thank you for Anthony's provocation for us to be light in the darkest of places. And Father, I pray, would you give this church opportunity to share the gospel and to proclaim the gospel. Lord, would they see many come to you and receive the free gift of eternal life in Jesus. Father, we pray, would your gospel go from here to the surrounding towns and cities, to the nation and to the nations, that Jesus may be glorified. And we thank you for the hope we have in you. We pray, would you come back quickly, Lord? We hope for you. We are aware of the prophetic word that we heard today, that our life is very short, Lord. And we pray, would you come and put an end to all suffering and pain? We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus.